Welcome back, interweb friends, to Stop the Movie. I want to get out podcast about some of the most hilariously bad movies Hollywood has churned out. Movies that are so bad they're good, or hopefully they're so bad they're good. That's what we're trying to find out. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined, as I am most weeks, by Brian Mueller, Cody Wolf,
hello,
Jack Esterbrook.
Hey.
Very special guest in for this week, TV's own Jessica Kane.
Yay! Glad to be here.
And this is a first for Stop the Movie. I think this is the first time we've done a movie where not only did our special guest suggest the movie, but the special guest owned the movie and was more familiar with the movie than all of us were prior to watching it.
And I love this movie. I'm just going to lay it out there. It's going to be some healthy debate today.
This is a controversial movie. Our movie this week, the 1987 live-action Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Garbage is right.
I feel like we have to do some background on this movie because for a lot of kids, I think, you know, if anyone young is listening to this, they would have no idea. Saying Garbage Pail Kids...
No, they wouldn't.
...would make no sense.
Yeah.
So, in the early 80s, there was a toy produced called Cabbage Patch Kids, which was the original, like, insane Christmas pandemonium toy. Parents had to have it. Black market, you know, comes out for everyone's trying to get these. So, and, you know, they were a big, kind of a fad. So, Topps Trading Cards comes out with a line of trading cards parodying the Cabbage Patch Kids called Garbage Pail Kids. These came out in, I think, 1985, and they came with like a couple cards to a pack and stickers, and they were all gross. They looked like Cabbage Patch Kids, except they were doing gross things. Like, you know, one was named Atom Bomb, and his head was exploding like a nuclear warhead.
Valerie
Vomit. Yeah, all doing gross things. Things that if you were like a 7 to 10 year old
kid. If you were in that age range, and actually they are kind of funny.
Yeah.
In like some immature little way. It's like, oh wow, this card's pretty funny. So, I mean, I got nothing against the cards.
No, I mean, it's hard to knock the cards. I mean, and then, but instead of, there was never a Cabbage Patch Kids movie, but they did make a movie about the cards that were parodying the Cabbage Patch Kids. Garbage Pail Kids got their own live-action movie in 1987. Part of the problem, the Garbage Pail Kids' popularity was starting to wane. They actually had a long run. Like, I didn't realize this. Garbage Pail Kid cards are still produced today.
Yeah.
In 2012. Yeah. Still produced today. But that pandemonium was fading a little bit by 1987.
And apparently they're remaking the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
They are.
As well.
This movie we're reviewing today is...
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Yeah, they're going to be remaking it.
So it's coming back.
I
can't wait.
I smell a special theatrical episode.
Oh, that could be. That
a re-release of the original movie, I think.
Yeah.
In theaters.
Updated CG special effects.
Because it made like $600,000
They're
going
to make it so the biker bites the alligator's toe first.
Yeah. Well, and we should set up that when I first heard... I didn't see the Garbage Pail Kids movie when I was a kid. I had gone decades assuming this was an animated film based on what the trading cards
looked like.
There
was an animated television series.
There was, which apparently didn't air in most countries because it was too controversial. This is a live-action movie. I didn't even realize that until very recently that they did this, which is an insane decision.
Yeah.
I mean, we can put that right out there. Half of this movie's craziness is just the fact that we're seeing it in live action.
Action used loosely.
used very loosely. All right, let's. So there's a little background of what the Garbage Pail Kids are. Why I don't know if that really explains why this movie was made, but maybe some basis for where it was made. And we'll start work. Let's go right into this movie. It starts off with, by the way, one of the greatest title screens, and we'll probably a title screen we'll never see again. A Topps chewing gum production, right there. I was.
That's
like,
how you know it's.
That's when
quality
you know
cinema.
This is a
Topps
quality.
Chewing gum production.
Yeah, because that's who.
Their lollipop guild isn't quite up to terms, but.
Yeah, that should give you some good feelings about what's about to come up. I don't know how to describe the opening of this. Can somebody start?
You're
with...
flying through space. It's like a magical moment where you see these Garbage Pail Kids coming at you. And I think they show the pail, right? Or some type of spaceship pail.
No, this is something they never explain. Are the Garbage Pail Kids from space?
Yeah. What is the origin of the Garbage Pail Kids? And maybe that, that's the implication. Is... You know, and you, and I love it because you already know you're in for something totally weird. As soon as you see those first shots, you're like, this is going to be a crazy ride.
Well, there's, there's a giant spaceship shaped like a garbage pail. So, yeah, they're from space. But they never show them like crashing
into Earth. And they never explored this at any point in the film, apart from the opening of the film. It's a garbage pail can in space.
Such a shame. Yeah. Such a shame that they didn't delve into that more.
Yeah, and then we get a little parade of our characters, like the cards appear on the screen, as if to say, here are your favorite Garbage Pail Kids coming to life.
Here's what you have to look forward to.
I completely missed this intro. I don't know if my DVD was wrong, but like it started in a chase scene with a kid and like,
That's right after.
I completely missed the intro. Oh my god, this whole movie, you know what? This completely changes my opinion of this
movie. That's why you didn't understand it.
That's now...
You have to mentally prepare yourself for the intro.
Have you seen the opening? The movie makes total sense.
Yeah, okay. I was so confused.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which then, after this introduction of a flying spaceship trash can dumping things out, we randomly go to just a kid in the lowest speed chase from bullies ever. The kid and the bullies are moving at what I would call
at first it takes like it looks like he's taking like a leisurely jog through the park, and then all of a sudden there's like kids chasing him.
I didn't realize they were chasing him seriously. I thought it was just like...
I want to say two things right now. First of all, this kid whose name is Dodger is played by Mackenzie Astin, who is Sean Astin's brother
and John Astin's son, right?
Yes, actually they're half siblings. Yeah. I believe. Hmm. And the other is, what is up with these bullies? Are they like college kids?
Yeah, they're way too
This 11-year-old kid is running away from like 22-year-old guy.
He says at one point that he's, I think he says he's 15, but he looks like
he's 11. No way. He's,
I think, he looks like he's, I think, wasn't
but
he like,
was trying to impress the girls, so that could have been a little bit of a lie.
Yeah. Well, the bullies are, I mean, they're solidly adults. And
And they look like they came right out of like an 80s.
They look like
like the drawing on the side of an 80s video game arcade machine.
It was the most
like 80s. Here are all the punk rockers you're going to beat up in this game.
The Uncle Jesse hair.
Well, can we talk a little bit about what they're wearing?
Fingerless gloves.
Like the main bully is wearing, I had to write this down. He's wearing a blazer with a low cut t-shirt and fingerless gloves. Chasing this kid through a park.
We later find out that his name is Juice. I'm just going to get that out of the way.
And he's dating Tangerine.
And he dates Tangerine.
The names in this movie were ridiculous. Dodger and Juice and Tangerine.
Well, I thought Dodger kind of was, they were trying to make a play on Oliver Twist, the Artful Dodger.
There
you go.
See, it's sophisticated, guys.
Yeah.
Literature.
And Dodger is obsessed with Tangerine.
Although Tangerine
looks like she's about 10 years older than
this is. This gets kind of creepy
was only
at times.
Like 15 in the
really? Because I could have sworn she was like 22.
Yeah, she looks
she's
a lot
definitely
older.
Like 5 years older.
No,
than
she lives alone and has
life.
Her own clothing.
She has her own apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like a 15-year-old kid. Wouldn't be like, dude.
Well, that's the thing. You know, no one in this movie seems to have parents. Because at no point does Dodger go home or talk about his parents.
Tangerine
doesn't. Tangerine lives on her own.
Juice certainly
does. Well, like, this is the city. It's super creepy.
Yeah, it's weird.
It appears that Juice has his own kids. Maybe he's old enough to.
A few. Yeah.
Maybe Juice fathered the Garbage Pail Kids.
And anyone else notice? They should follow up with that. Did anyone else notice what Juice's henchman? Juice's henchman looks exact. I mean, it is Shia LaBeouf. The guy who's wearing...
I was thinking that too, like a buffer version of Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. The guy who's wearing the netting or...
A mesh muscle shirt.
A mesh muscle shirt,
And
the chick's from WWE or something.
Oh, yeah, there was some big burly girl there too,
tucking
right?
In the boys.
Yeah, who apparently was stronger than the guys they made very clear throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, which was another awkward storyline that didn't...
Did we ever establish why he was just... Don't they like pick him up and throw him in a garbage can? Is that the only reason why they were chasing him? Like
no,
some generic...
no, they're chasing. He owes him money or something.
No, they just steal his money. I think they're just angry.
What are you gonna pay up, Dodger?
But my favorite part is they're beating him up on the playground, and there's people in the background just sort of standing there, like as these like college kids beat up this 11-year-old. There's people kind of, if you look in the background, they're just kind of standing there looking around. It's like
you don't mess with Juice, okay?
Yeah, no Juice's reputation.
That's out there.
And I gotta say, normally we go through the movie like step by step. My notes on this movie are a mess. Like I'm just looking at random notes. I'm gonna lose track of where we were at all points. Like, so some point it comes out that he works at an antique shop.
Well, he goes, yeah, after he gets beaten up, he goes to the antique shop to wash his clothes.
To wash his clothes.
Because they put him in a puddle.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Didn't they put him in the sewers or something?
I thought they put him in a dumpster.
That comes later.
Yeah.
I thought they put him in a dumpster.
No, that was later. That was at the fashion show. We'll get
Yeah,
Dodger doesn't actually wash his movies. He's all over the place.
Every time Juice and the bullies, their main torment of him seems to be to get him his clothes dirty.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be like the worst thing they do.
Well, they're all fashion people. They just want to make sure they're the best dressed people in town, and they see Dodger as a threat.
But this is where I first noticed that Dodger doesn't have parents, because he goes, his clothes get dirty, and he goes to the antique shop.
Right.
Has this old guy wash his clothes for him, and then takes a bath with this guy watching him. It's very weird.
Not the only bath he takes with people watching him in this movie. In his kid's movie.
But at this point, while he's washing the clothes, there's a garbage pail in the antique shop, and for some reason, he asks him, why don't we ever use that garbage pail? Like, why is this kid concerned about what garbage pails they use?
But, exactly. You know, you have some trash, you got it right there.
And Captain Manzini, like, freaks out. He's like, leave that garbage pail alone.
Don't ever touch it.
You know, don't touch it.
Which is why it's in the middle of the store.
Exactly.
For customers to look at.
Which is exactly...
don't touch it!
That's why I put it in the most precarious place imaginable.
But then he makes a very sophisticated reference to Pandora's box, so it's kind of integration of literature and fable, I guess.
Because that's what 9-year-old kids love. It's...
I highly doubt if Garbage Pail Kids is an allegory for Pandora's box.
And I get lost. So at some point, Dodger. I'm probably jumping forward to what we
are. Dodger. Can we say Dodger like Vince Scully every time? So Dodger looked at the garbage pail.
3-2 count for Dodger. No, at some point, he gets beat up again by Juice and the bullies. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think
why,
it happens
right?
like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, I think it's soon after this because he's told not to mess with the garbage pail. He's there like that night for some reason, and the bullies come in.
Because he's flirting with Tangerine, because she's
looking
for jewelry.
That's right. Oh, Tangerine comes in and she's looking for jewelry, and he's like, "Oh, like he's so in love with Tangerine," and he's trying to impress her, and he's showing her things that are there.
Is anyone else concerned that this is like the only store in town, and they never sell anything? Remember, he says, "Captain Manzini, why don't you ever sell anything?" You remember that part?
Yeah, and Captain Manzini's like, we're fine. You know,
we're good. We got our pail.
Yeah. I cut a deal.
I got some things on the side.
Yeah, I mean, it really sounds like Captain
Juice
Manzini...
Juice and I are shipping some cocaine in on our
regular... I was going to say, they're definitely a drug front.
But
there's a line later in the movie that suggests
don't go in that garbage pail. That's where my stash is.
But he makes a good point in that scene, too, where he says, people don't deal with magic anymore. People aren't open to it. And then he unleashes a whole pail of magic on that.
Yeah, but is it magic or is it from space?
No, it's
well,
space.
I guess we haven't established that. It's going to be a little
there's
magical.
A spaceship in the beginning.
I would say this is...
a little pail.
They're mixing their genres. It's either magic or it's sci-fi.
But,
I suppose it could be magic.
So the gang comes in and starts beating him up or whatever, and they knock
this
over
was like
the garbage
pail. By the way, that was the worst chase scene ever inside that
in
store. Story, like, there's literally like 10 like, square feet of space to move around, and he somehow he eludes Shia LaBeouf by like spinning a basketball around and then throwing it at him. And it might have been as like a grenade, might as well have been a grenade to Shia LaBeouf because he like picks it up and is like completely flummoxed by it, and he slips through the old legs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally like the size of a Johnny on the Spot. And he's, like, eluding these people for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Is anyone else concerned Shia LaBeouf can't open that sewer? He has to have the chick do it? Remember, he can't open that thing, so she starts turning it.
Yeah,
she's like, I got this, dude.
It's like paper mache muscles.
So finally, we say finally they catch him. I mean, they're essentially, like, having a chase scene in a bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, is about the size of it.
It's like the Night at the Opera thing, where all those people are crammed in one little room. Like, that's what it is.
It's, yeah, like, running around in circles. Yeah, it should have had, like, that magic, like, music. And in the process, the precariously placed garbage pail tips over, and
green ooze starts coming out.
Green ooze.
Yeah. No people coming out. That was
weird. Yeah, I know. They didn't like jump out. They didn't like jump out.
It's their travel size.
Yeah,
which also didn't make sense. But then, like, Juice and his guys are like, well, all right, we've done our job for the day. We've beat up Dodger. We'll see you tomorrow, kid.
No,
we'll beat you up
same time, same place, Dodger.
Yeah,
they put him in the sewer.
Oh, they put him in the sewer, right.
And dump. And there's the pipelines with, like, Like, there's one that says zoo, and one that says, like bathroom. Or there's, like, very specific pipelines.
Yeah, they go out of the way.
It goes to one bathroom.
Right.
They go out of the way to make sure.
Can we tell everyone, it's so specifically labeled, the pipes in the sewer, one even says hot tub.
Right, yeah, that's right, yeah.
There's one hot tub in the city.
It's like a high school musical you go see, and the sets say, like, chair. Yeah. Leap.
So they open one of the valves, though, and dump just...
Apparently raw sewage on him. Okay.
There you go.
And then they leave.
Which is pretty gross.
I think this is a metaphor for what the director is doing to the audience in this case.
Was anyone else thinking about the E. coli implications of the fact that this kid is just having raw sewage poured on him?
And then that was the other scene where the guys couldn't turn the wheel to dump the sewage, and the girl has to be on there.
So Donger, I don't know why, is just laying in this pool of sewage. He really doesn't seem
to
have any
injury.
He got
knocked out by a kick to the stomach somehow.
The 1-2 punch is just too much.
And the garbage
pail... It's easier if I just lay down.
If I just lay down here and take the sewage in. So the garbage pail kids show up in the sewer to rescue him because they got out of the garbage pail when it was tipped over in the fight. And give him first aid by farting in his face, which they're basically, that's how they wake him up. There's no smelling salts. We're going to have a kid.
No bath salts.
We're going to have a
improvisation.
A 3-foot-tall man in an audio animatronic costume will fart in his face.
Isn't that how you wake up in the morning?
That,
I mean, that's my alarm clock.
That's basically what happens.
That's exactly what happens. So they bring him back up to the antique shop. Where again the kid bathes with Captain Manzini's just in the room, like, and all the Garbage Pail Kids are gathered around and
watching.
It's like a really bizarre scene.
And then they all introduce themselves.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And we meet
as the kid's just laying in the bathtub.
Yep.
And it's hard to describe this, and this is part of why I would recommend people who are interested in a weird movie see this. It's seven small people in really extensive, like, plastic
really
audio animatronic costumes.
It's not extensive enough,
costumes.
Though.
When they talk,
it's really weird.
No, the mouths are not working right, and the eyes are better on some than others.
And it's not like you go to Disney World and they're cute and cuddly. It's like a little uncomfortable to watch this all go down, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we have to go through all this. I remember Valerie Vomit.
Who vomits hardly.
Wendy Wendell? Was that the name?
Something like that,
He's the farting one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Messy Tessie,
who
has
a booger
nose
problem.
Issue. Yeah.
Post nasal drip.
There's a baby with bad breath. Right?
Bill something.
Yeah. Ned Nurse, who likes to pee.
The pimply kid who pees himself.
And he pees to the point where it begins to become like disturbing. This kid could have used a little more vomit and a little less pee.
Yeah.
It's his own joke. Like, he at times pees on purpose.
It's his punchline.
It's like his bum bum.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he pees on things. And the other garbage.
Boy, how bad,
like,
is this situation we're in? A pee.
Oh, Greaser Greg, don't forget him.
Oh, and Greaser
Greg. Who's almost too cool.
Who looks like a 50s.
To be a garbage pail kid. It's because he's played by a celebrity. He gets top billing.
He always has a switchblade. And then Alligator, the one non-human.
An alligator who's an alligator.
Bites people's toes off for no reason.
And one of these garbage pail kids also asked Dodger at one point if he wants to suck face.
Yes.
That's right. Valerie Vomit. She's got really high self-esteem. She also wanted to be a model at one point.
That's right.
And she made out with Greaser Greg at one point.
Pretty tall.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was Messy Tessie who made out.
Oh, that was Messy Tessie.
They implied that there was some kind of hooking up going on.
I would have gone for the vomit girl than the mucus girl.
I guess it's kind
of like half a dozen of the other,
It's a no-win situation right there. You just got to...
I'm just saying, if I had to with a garbage pail kid, that would be my.
At any point, did anyone feel a little embarrassed for the kids, like when they were doing this stuff? Like, you feel like it was almost like your own child, and you're like, you can't do that in public, you know? A little bit of shame for them.
Yeah,
I felt horrible for the people in the costumes.
I felt horrible for the screenwriters and the filmmakers who had to photograph it.
It's so shockingly awful, and it just they're clearly just like muddling.
Well, it kind of also goes beyond like they could be gross, like, subtly, but it's not like every 5 minutes this kid has to pee.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes this other kid has to fart. Every 5 minutes something else has to happen.
The kid with bad breath.
Because bad breath has to do something, and And it's like why can't they just do them once in a while instead of every 5 minutes because they're gimmicks?
Well, there's because there's a lot of filler in this movie.
It almost slows the story down once they introduce the Garbage Pail Kids, what little story there is.
Well, and it makes it hard to introduce this movie to your friends because at some points it gets so gross and embarrassing you start to kind of blush and be like, maybe we shouldn't watch this anymore.
Well, things are happening. Like, I'm going to jump ahead. Like, can we talk about when, like, one of the Garbage Pail Kids pulls a knife on humans and, like, starts stealing cars?
I would like to get into this right now. There's a message in this film. I don't know if I should go into that right now because we're not that far ahead. But the message in this film is like, okay, just because you're ugly on the outside doesn't mean you're an ugly person, right? Right?
That is okay. Message.
The Garbage Pail Kids do a lot of nasty things unprovoked. Biting people's toes off, drinking and driving, even though
stealing
they're kids.
Cars.
Pulling knives on people.
Robbing,
stealing
robbing
things. And peeing and barfing on other people. It's like, this is ugly through and through. So it's kind of like there was a missed message here.
Yeah, well, maybe it's you can't judge a book by its cover, but in some cases the cover might be right. You never know.
There you go.
You gotta give everyone a fair shake in the beginning.
There you go. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
What the heck's happening in this movie now?
Well, I don't know where.
So he just was rescued.
The kids are out.
They're all standing around.
And then what happens next? I'm totally lost. Does anyone even know?
Then they banish them to the basement, I think.
Oh, you're okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Captain Manzini this whole time is trying to get them back into the garbage pail.
Captain Manzini, by the way, is guardian of the year here. He likes to keep the kids in a garbage can and then banishes them to the basement.
Well, they won't get back in on their own. So he's trying to figure out this magic spell to get them back in, which again, I thought they were from space, but now they're magic.
Yeah.
So.
Space magic.
At this point.
Magic so, space people.
Is Captain Manzini like 500 years old or something?
That's what they're implying at one point.
He's like
at one point, yeah.
This movie loves to imply big concepts and never follow up
right.
with
them. But he's really bad at magic. Does anyone know? I mean, he says it's because he's not
really
the right
materials,
but he can't make
it. Oh, yeah, it's
work.
Stuff, it's stuff like they haven't had Eye of Newton so long, I can't make this spell work. And the little kid is like, okay, Dodger works for this guy collecting these random things for his spells, right? And they do imply that he may be really old because he's like, sorry, I couldn't get the eye of Newt or whatever. And he said, no, you can't find that anymore. So is he alive when you could?
Well,
or is
also,
he merely like...
There's also a line about him...
Like generationally, like, oh, it's not like my grandfather's days.
Well, no, there's a line in the movie about where he's talking about weapons and how man developed these weapons. Like, first they had swords and then they developed gunpowder. And
yep.
It was like this line implying he was there for those things.
Right.
Yep.
And he's traveled the world. He's got a lot of...
Yeah.
And in the midst of this, and like as all that stuff is going on, I'm watching this being like, what does this have to do with weird, gross Garbage Pail Kids?
Because they're magical.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's keeping the kids in the basement, and at this point I think Dodger's still trying to hit on Tangerine.
Yeah, at some point they go to the club to sell her stuff.
I thought they had stolen the clothes.
Yeah. He goes to her apartment and is like, I don't know. I can't remember what happened.
Apparently, they live next door to each other.
Yeah,
because they have four sets in this movie. There's seriously like four sets. Like you can see, you could like just turn around and see all the sets in this entire film.
It's the club, the
her
antique
apartment.
Shop,
the
her
bar,
apartment.
The bar,
Stayed Home for the Ugly.
That's not a that's
and the park.
Heavy.
What in the park, where they were chasing. Oh,
and the stoop, the front stoop in Tangerine's apartment.
And the sewer.
Half of those, however, I think, let's be fair, half of those could be redresses.
Well, most of them are just like one angle of, like the sewer's like just the same angle, so it's like one wall probably.
Yeah, it's a redress. They probably had one set, they made it look like a dozen.
So yeah, so Tangerine takes Dodger to the club where she's selling clothes in the back of the club.
She's totally weeding him on, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
She's totally, I mean.
And it's creepy, too.
Yeah, he thinks
he's got a job. And it's
creepy because she likes him in a
way. She's kind of like an adult, and he's like a child. So this is bizarre.
Yeah.
He's got real baby face.
Dodger's parents should be putting an Amber Alert out every time he like hangs out with Tangerine.
She's gonna end up on a sex offender registry.
But Dodger doesn't have parents. That's why.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. This is it. Almost had like a Mary Kay Waterno feel to it too. Also, kind of. Yeah.
So basically, he goes with her to sell. She sells clothes in the back alley behind a dance club.
Yeah.
And apparently this is a weekly ritual because she shows up and like everyone storms
my
out
dream.
Of the club
but she's
together.
Very rude to all her customers and yet they still buy.
So Tangerine's dream, ha ha ha, No one gets it.
Okay. Wait, what did you say?
Is,
oh my God, we should
is,
edit that out.
What did you say?
That was the worst.
I didn't hear it.
That was nothing. The worst.
What did you say? Someone tell me.
Nothing.
Jack just referenced Tangerine Dream, which is like, I don't even know how to describe
it. I don't even know
it.
What that is.
They're like,
he's hanging his head in shame.
Yeah, he's hanging his head in shame right now.
Jack, 5 minute timeout. I don't even know that reference, but everyone else seems to.
I'm cutting Jack's mic.
Yeah, Jack just facepalmed himself. Yeah.
So her life's goal is to be a fashion designer, and she kind of is like one of these, she's like from the wrong side of the tracks, and she hangs out with the wrong kind of people, but she's trying her best to be a fashion designer, and this kid likes her, so she starts using him as like her stooge to do things for her.
Well, can we talk about her sales technique too? We kind of touched on this. Like, you know, she shows up at the back of the club like hawking these shirts. So rude to our customers.
Yeah. Like, you're gonna buy that, buy it, or put it down.
Like, whoa, calm down.
And can we say it's like there's a pile of clothes, literally a pile, and everyone's just digging through it.
She takes her own shirt off in one She sells her own shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To which Dodger's like acting like really weird because she's like just takes her
finally,
shirt off.
Dodger's like, finally, Dodger is like, wait a minute, you're an adult and you're stripping in front of me. What's going on here? I should call an adult.
And here's this kid, he's totally obsessed with her. She's taking off her shirt and he's like totally creeped out. Yeah. Like, what is the matter
even
with
he's
you?
Creeped out about it though. That's the point.
So, yeah. I don't think he was creeped out. I think he was excited.
That's what it looked like. He's like sitting down like weird. So at this point, I think he goes back and he's talking to the Garbage Pail Kids about his.
Wait, no, you forget it. You forgot a good part. So Juice shows up and he's got a skate.
Yeah, yeah.
So he ducks down the car, rolls out the door,
zips
and
zips himself
into a bag.
Into a hockey bag. Yeah.
Smooth move.
Juice feels threatened by this 15-year-old boy.
That's when he walks back to the antique shop and he's telling the Garbage Pail Kids about this girl and how he likes her.
And they decide,
oh, because he says how she likes designing clothes and she likes fashion. So they decide to make.
They take it upon themselves to get him with Tangerine. We'll help you get Tangerine. How? What is she like? Clothes. She designs clothes. We'll design clothes. And then you say that you designed them. And he's like, oh, okay. Which then leads us to
our musical number. Are we at that point?
Is that this one or is that the next one?
Am I ahead?
That's the next one. But that's the next one.
Oh, am I ahead? I'm sorry.
We have to talk about the jacket.
The Michael Jackson jacket?
It needs to be talked about.
Oh, it's really not me. Go with that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. At first they say, we'll let you dress snazzy to get the girl. And they design an outfit for him.
I'm sorry I jumped ahead. It looks like you took Russell Crowe's outfit from Master and Commander and had Liberace redo it. It is crazy. This jacket, it's like military meets like rhinestone. It's nuts.
But she likes it so much that she kicks Dodger out and then goes, hang on, come back in here. I want to see that jacket again.
Oh, and she's totally hot for it. Yeah. She's like, she thinks it's like the sexiest thing.
It makes you look older.
Yeah.
So, because he goes back to her place, she sees the jacket, and he convinces her that he designed the jacket, and that he, I guess, is a fashion designer, too.
He has all these secret skills he never mentioned.
Right.
Apparently, everyone's a fashion designer in this town.
So she asks him to make, I guess, like a dozen new clothes for the next Friday.
Yeah, she's really going hard to the hoop on that.
Right, yeah.
If you're not serious, don't do it, but you better show up with a dozen new clothes.
And this is
where she starts using him.
Well, yeah, and,
to her advantage.
To convince him to do this, she acts all sexy and like
she thinks
laying
that,
down like
baby.
All.
She thinks creepy. That he. She thinks that he created the jacket.
Right.
So, and he's like, yeah, I did, to impress her. And then she's like, well, you know, I'll be your girlfriend, basically, if you make these clothes. She doesn't say it, but it's like very Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah.
Squeeze
it,
this Dodger knows her, but he's like, what would you say? And she's like, don't worry about that. Like,
she's like sexily crossing her legs and stuff.
It's creepily sexual, like what's going on. Like, they're trying to, like, walk a line, like, and again, like, this is where I started wondering, like, who is this movie for? Because she's basically like
it's for everyone. That's
that he's
why
gonna, like,
he can bring
up with
he's gonna get lucky if he designs clothes
if
for
if he
her.
Continues to design crazy, insane Michael Jackson inspired military jackets.
So he goes back to the Garbage
and
Pail
now
Kids.
Now we're at that scene.
Coming up soon. He goes back to the Garbage Pail Kids. He asks them to make more clothes for him so he can sell them with this girl. And I think they refuse, or they're like, we can't do that in 3 days or something.
Well, the Garbage Pail Kids kind of like start raising red flags about Tangerine. Yeah, the Garbage Pail Kids are like, hey, wait a second. Girl, at this, yeah. They basically call
they've
her
been
a skank.
They've been in a garbage can for thousands of years in space, and even they can
see
this.
Yeah, they're like, this is the same old story.
Yeah, they're like, this girl's bad news. Be, yeah. You know, yeah.
You better cut your losses, buddy.
But we have to mention here, they start talking about their other friends who...
Yeah.
Who they're looking
Banana
for.
Banana Anna and the like. Yeah.
They're looking for their other friends. And they mention how they're in the state home for the ugly, which apparently is a state institution for ugly people.
You don't know
people.
What the state home of the ugly is?
I had never heard of it.
Yeah. No, it's just where ugly people go.
But it's a state-funded institution, taxpayer dollars.
It's in most counties.
Yeah. They go around with nets and just capture ugly people. And
they do mention that, don't they? That if they go out, they'll quote-unquote get captured.
No, they show the state home from the ugly capturing
ugly
people.
They show a girl in a Halloween mask and they try to catch her. Yeah.
We have to get to that later.
Who's like extra sassy for age 12.
Get teased!
But they say, we can't find the state home from the ugly, so we can't find their friends. Which is funny because they find it really easy later on. But,
yeah, well, yeah, that's
they follow the catcher.
But yeah. So it's they tell Dodger that if he helps them find their friends, they will make these clothes for him. So they start. This is where
that was the barter.
They make a deal. I'll help you find your friends if you make the clothes for me in 3 days.
And by the way, T minus 2 minutes in this movie till my mind explodes.
Well, here it is where they go. They go to, I can't remember where it is, but they break into a sweatshop.
And
start stealing equipment like sewing machines and I think fabrics and stuff.
From the sweatshop. Yeah.
From the sweatshop.
Which is also morally a little on the edge,
you can tell that's why they said sweatshops, and we're like, oh, we don't be able to think we're stealing from a mom and pop operation. We're stealing from a sweatshop.
We're stealing from a sweatshop to resupply another sweatshop.
And so this is where they start singing, and this
Can
is where my brain melted because I'm like,
this is
a musical.
It's
a musical.
If we had rights to play the song, we would. And
we can't even play a snippet of it.
Can I don't sing think it?
Go on YouTube and just search.
If you go on YouTube and you
what's
and
it
you
called?
We can't do anything by working with
each other. Yeah, and they just bounce around singing this song
as they're robbing these stores. So
and they're going out now. They're worried about getting captured, but they go out and gleefully skip down the street.
Did they have disguises, or did they not have the disguises?
No, they did not have the disguises. They're like, we can't go out, we'll get captured. But we can do anything if we work together. So then they just go out, and they start robbing from the sweatshop.
Which is kind of an uplifting message. I like the song. It's catchy.
It's very
catchy. Raises your heart a little.
Everyone has such nice voices.
I wanted to throw the DVD out the window when they started singing.
If there were going
to
be more songs.
That's when I turned the movie off for a second. I couldn't take it after that.
I was like, oh my God, are there going to be more songs?
I was petrified. That this is going to be a musical, but then by the end I was let down that it was the only song.
Yeah.
Well, see,
I bought the soundtrack and was so disappointed when I saw that was the only track.
This was one of my favorite movies as a child, and I think that played a big role in it. I just love that song and how all the kids banded together. It's like almost Disney-esque, you know? It's like all these kids
like the Seven Dwarfs
making it happen. They
banded together to rob a store.
Yes.
It's like the whistle while you work of Garbage Pail Kids.
And again, the question comes up, who is this movie for? I mean, like, I could never figure out what the audience. At times, it's like they're trying to project that it's like young kids. At times, it's teenagers. At times, it's potentially no one.
Judging by the box office returns, it was meant for nobody.
There's something that happens here too. I can't remember if it's here or earlier in the movie, but they go out and they're out. Try not to get captured, so they end up stealing a Pepsi truck.
Yes, I was gonna talk about
product placement.
Well, and they need disguises, so they use giant trench coats.
Right.
You can't see their strange
again, like the Ninja Turtles.
But, so they steal a Pepsi truck and they're driving through the city. I think Greg the Greaser is working the foot pedal, and I can't remember one of the girls is driving it. Yeah,
driving the truck. Yep,
and
they end up completely flattening a car, just driving
literally
over a car.
It's flat.
The car
like,
is
literally
flat.
It's flat.
It's Juice's car.
And he said, "Run!" But
yeah, the car is like it wasn't even like a collision. It was
between a truck
and like a van, but it looked like a freaking monster truck.
Yeah, went over it.
Did you hear what they said too? They pull back up to see the rest of their Garbage Pail Kids. They hop out of the truck and. I'm already like, this product placement is rough. And then they just hop out and they go, we're the Pepsi generation. What? What?
How much? Oh, yeah, it's the scene where they have their wiener roast.
Yeah.
So they end up, they see all the equipment, see all the fabric, and they start making these clothes. At some point along the line, they decide they want to go out and enjoy a night on the town.
Yes.
So, this, yeah, they get their disguises on, which are just...
They're very clever disguises.
Just trench coats and whatever.
Sunglasses.
Some of them are sunglasses, yeah.
Oh, only
yeah.
Some.
You can't tell.
Oh, alligator.
There's an alligator with sunglasses, you can't tell, but...
You can't tell. Yeah. He's a giant alligator mouth.
Well, it's very strange. But
here's most, the scariest.
So, most of them go to a movie theater, which is showing a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah,
which yeah, is far away. Can we just
which
say
is
here?
Apparently the most hilarious movie in the world because everyone in the theater is just
how
laughing.
How could it
also, can we
it's
say far and away
it's
the best part of the movie? The best part of the movie for the 5 seconds that the Three Stooges were the only thing on screen.
Right. But it was a chef, so even that was a letdown.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
How cheap this movie is, and apparently I'm gonna bring this up now. I'm trying to do some research.
They
I don't know exactly.
They couldn't use another MGM movie.
Well, it's not even just that, but like the set for the movie theater, it's like three rows of seats. Like this was like a $30 million movie. You couldn't actually shoot this in a legit movie theater.
Doesn't the baby like? Let's go back to the story. They like steal popcorn from people.
Well, this whole scene.
Doesn't someone sneeze and there's popcorn?
I think the baby breathes in his face and he gets
this whole scene is just filler. This whole scene. This is where I wrote this movie doesn't need to exist in my notes because this whole scene was just. It didn't make it.
We need to give
well,
something.
This is where it gets a little confusing again because it shows their rascals and
they're
lacking some morals,
but
then
still
it goes back to what Jack was saying that you want to like root for the people
right.
and
no,
can't
no,
judge
yeah.
a book by
They're
its
stealing
cover,
other
you know?
People's hot dogs and popcorn. They're making noise. They're crawling all over people. They're sneezing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're annoying the heck out of everyone.
The one sneezes into her big bucket of popcorn and popcorn just fills the room.
And which is a callback to
Ed. Yeah.
If your movie involves magic popcorn filling a room, your movie's in trouble.
Yeah.
But and so they're in the movie theater, and two or three of them, where you can sit.
No, this is the acting by the extras in
this
scene.
So bad. I've never seen it. That one extra looks like she doesn't know if she's supposed to look at the camera or look at the kids or not look at the kids.
Every time they do something, their mouth, the extras' mouths are just like agape at them, and they just like staring back and forth.
Is that an alligator?
I don't know.
This is really like inside baseball, but I would give anything to talk to like whoever was the second assistant director in charge of extras, because that person clearly just called in sick that day.
I mean, that would be like if like you just took like all the members of my family, threw them in a theater, and were just like, okay, just react to what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what, Brian? I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly what happened.
And the movie's
in this
funny.
Scene.
Got it? The movie's funny.
So they
is this supposed to be a horror movie? No, it's funny.
So those guys are in the theater, and at the same time, Alligator and I think.
The farting guy.
Oh, the farting guy, that's right.
Whatever.
Yeah, Wendy was in. Because Greg's in the theater pulling his knife on people, stealing their hot dogs.
Yeah, we can't forget about it.
But
pulling his knife on
but
people.
But Wendy, yeah. Wendy,
plus, did we establish that they need to eat? You don't see them eating except for when they're stealing food.
That's right.
Well, that guy's getting his urine from somewhere, so he's hydrating himself at least.
Good point.
It's very clear urine, so he is well hydrated. It's not yellow at all.
So Wendy and Alligator they go to a bar. Which is great for
the toughest bar in the world.
It's literally what it's called.
Some guy gets thrown out the door, and Alligator says, "This is my kind of place."
Yeah, some guy with like a 3-piece suit gets thrown
right.
out. It's like a biker
someone's
bar.
Someone's hot wiring outside, or is that Windy Wendell or whatever?
Yeah, he's doing something to his
the car. Yeah, it
something.
Broke down. The, yeah. I don't even know where they got those like motorcycle things. But
so Allie goes into the So Allie goes into the bar. And
I like how you're just calling him Allie, by the way.
Yeah, he's Alligator.
Hey, he's Allie.
He immediately goes to one of
the
bikers
what he does
drinking
is
at the bar.
He starts crawling on the ground and like seeing which person's toes look the most appetizing.
Yeah.
Then when he finds one,
unfortunately, in a land of shoes.
Again, this is a character we're supposed to.
This biker is wearing like flip flops.
This is a character we're supposed to sympathize with.
Yeah.
And these are the heroes of the movie, and they're supposed to be like, oh, they're just little rascals that are misunderstood. And he literally says. Those look good or something like that, and he just
bites this
random guy's toe off to eat it.
Yeah. And at this point, all the bikers then are going to, they grab him.
Fight starts.
They're going to kill him, at which point Wendy comes just bursting into the room with his bike, just crashes through the wall. And he starts fighting people and farting people's faces.
And one guy gets farted on, and his mustache flies off.
Right, yeah, his mustache comes off. I forgot about that.
No, and then I love how he's like, these little guys have guts, and all of a sudden they love them.
One of the guy, one of the bikers comes up. He's like, I like this guy. He's got guts, and they're all friends. Then they all start drinking together.
Even the toughest bar in the world.
Even the guy without the toe, which got his toe bit off, is like, you're okay, creepy alligator.
You're
thing.
Okay. Kid.
So then they proceed to drive home drunk.
Yep.
Yes. We can talk about that.
Drunk driving.
They're clearly,
children, because they're also clearly kids, because they're Garbage Pail Kids, and they're clearly driving drunk.
And now we also learn that Juice, for reasons never explained anywhere in the movie, is interested in the Garbage Pail Kids. Never explained why.
Like he needs that.
Oh, yeah, he wants to get rid of them.
He needs the cash money when he trades them to the state
home. Because here's where the state home comes back in. Because
there's a bounty
Dodger
or something. Unlikely people.
Dodger and Captain Manzini go and they find, again, it's not that hard to find this state home.
Captain Manzini says, I'm ashamed to say that in all of my years, I've never been able to find the state home for the ugly.
And immediately,
it's always eluded me.
The next scene, it's like there's a truck that has a sign on the side that says "Stay Home from the
Ugly."
There's
random lightning
there's two guys
flashing.
There's two guys in uniforms holding a big net,
trying to catch up with
people. And they're pretty ugly themselves.
And then they drive to the "Stay Home from the Ugly," which is right on the road. It's not
and
like
it has a huge
set,
sign.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the same town.
They barely miss it.
Can we also say right now at this point the day night confusion in this film?
Oh.
It's nighttime, then it's daytime, then it's nighttime, and it's daytime again. Yeah. It just cuts back and forth like every other scene.
Yeah. And it also looked like I still, by the end of the movie, couldn't tell if the exterior of the antique shop was a real location or if that was a soundstage.
I think the whole thing was a soundstage.
It was right next door was Tangerine.
Was Tangerine.
And then was his apartment.
Because I was thinking, I'm like, why would you shoot this on a soundstage? Like, why would you shoot a street exterior?
Towards the end of the movie, there's a wider shot of, like Jess said, the antique shop, Tangerine's apartment, and Dodger's place.
Yeah.
And it's just like one sort of small part of the
it's
street.
Like Sesame
and you can tell
everything's
it's
connected.
Right. It did, except Sesame Street looks like better.
Well, there's one point, too.
The set looks better.
I think it happens here where he goes to Tangerine's apartment. I just want to mention this quick.
Oh,
he goes to Tangerine's apartment and he sees Juice inside. And he sees Juice is coming out. So Dodger climbs up this ladder right next to the door, like 3 feet off the ground. And for some reason, Juice.
Right in his line of sight.
Right. Yeah. Juice comes out and doesn't see him there. He's like just on this ladder, 3 feet off the ground.
He should have been right in
Juice's
face.
Right in his peripheral.
It's the old movie trick.
Juice's vision is based on movement.
Yeah. Can I also talk?
Like, he's not even out of frame. He's just like 3 feet off the ground.
I'm right now developing a blog based on Tangerine's fashions, by the way. Because Tangerine.
You're pretty cute for that era.
They are amazing. Can we talk about the one outfit when she comes in? I just have in my notes, Tangerine is now dressed as a skanky Cinderella.
Like, oh, the crisscross over the chest.
Yeah,
and
but
then
with like that Tinkerbell kind of like tutu thing going on. At
the
another
road
point,
sign dress.
How about the denim? Does anyone remember Tangerine's denim jacket?
Yes.
She has a denim jacket that has like troll hair coming out of the shoulder.
Yes.
It's amazing.
A little bit flashy, a little bit trashy, but fun.
Yes.
That's what she says.
Oh, that's right. That's her motto. That's her motto. Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit trashy.
At some point around here, she mentions to Dodger that she's gotten a fashion show. They're going to put on a fashion show for all her outfits, including Dodger's outfit. So she's trying to get Dodger to make more outfits.
Yeah, and the clientele at this fashion show is like ritzy people.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
That's where she's like,
wait, we have to, before we get to the fashion show.
Yeah, no, that's further down the line. Yeah.
We have to set something up with the Stay Home of the Ugly for a later scene. In that they go to the Stay Home for the Ugly, and Manzini, who's like some 600-year-old magician who's apparently all mystic and everything, they're trying to figure out how to get into the place.
Yeah.
The kid's like, what do we do, Captain Manzini? He's like, we consider our territory in advance. And then they go out to the gate, and the guards are like, you can't go in here. And Captain Manzini's like, okay, see you later.
They run to the car and drive away.
That was the big plan from the magician.
Even the kid is looking at his face like, what?
He's like, I thought you said we don't retreat. He's like, well, in this case.
Well, now we just go home and regroup. It's like, regroup from what? You just went to the front door and they said you couldn't go in and he just left.
Crazy.
He couldn't find this place for years and that's what happens when he finally locates it. Yeah. Well, guess we won't be getting in there.
Well, that didn't work out.
And that will set it up.
Not to mention, the clock is ticking on the other kids they have. We later find out. Right. They apparently have Garbage Pail Kids in there at that time.
You never
and
seen
then a car, and then a garbage truck drives by, like, after they kicked him out. So had he been more successful.
Yeah.
We could have saved him.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that part.
And at that point, simultaneously, Tangerine is really coming down on Dodger to crank out these outfits. Holy moly. This is like Devil Wears Prada kind of stuff, you know? She wants designs. She wants this taken to manufacturing.
Her career is riding on 6 or 7 aliens who apparently are avant-garde fashion designers.
And a 15-year-old kid who's trying to get with her.
Yeah,
that's her whole fashion.
You can see why she's stressed out.
Yeah.
She's got to get out of this town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't understand, too. Now I'm just thinking about it. All these designs are coming from the Garbage Pail Kids, but she helps Juice kidnap the Garbage Pail Kids to get them out of the way, even though they're
She's the only reason. They're the only reason she's having any success.
Because she meets the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
At one point,
I think she still takes her orders from Juice. I think he had his eye on them, and he still told her what to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think of it this way, too. She's just a girl. I mean, you know, I mean, she
the
can't really.
Age-old story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she really should weave all the big decisions up
right.
to Juice.
Nice.
Right. Yeah.
Nice.
I just, you know,
this was the 80s.
Yeah. So, are we at the point where simultaneously the fashion show is starting and Juice and Shia LaBeouf are kidnapping the Garbage Pail Kids?
Yes.
And okay. They whistle for him.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, because the kids want, the Garbage Pail Kids want to go to the fashion show. Tangerine won't let them, so she locks them in the basement.
Right.
Then she and Dodger
go. Way to treat your key designer.
Yeah, right.
And they think that Dodger has something to do with
it. So, they're upset at Dodger. Tangerine and Dodger go to the show. And at this point is when Juice and Shia LaBeouf break into the store, open up the basement, and kidnap the Garbage Pail Kids.
Right. Okay. To take them to the stay home.
They bring them to the stay home of the ugly.
Okay. And while this Dodger's unknowing, because he's at the fashion show, wearing a rhinestone tuxedo jacket over a wife beater, getting ready
with
for
a
it.
Wait, can we back up?
With a bow tie that goes around his neck.
A sparkly bow tie.
A spandex bow tie.
He looked like Dodger, he's a Magic Mike.
Didn't Dodger wonder why Tangerine had a padlock with her, like in her purse, when they were locking up the garbage?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
She's like, I have a great plan. Here's a padlock. I have a key. I'm going to put it in my shirt.
Yeah, anything seems to go with Tangerine for Dodger. She can do no wrong in his eyes at this point.
So let's talk about the State Home for the Ugly for a second, because they bring him to State Home when you first see inside the State Home for the Ugly. It's like the worst freaking set I've ever
seen.
Oh,
this is terrible.
It's just one big room with these cages stacked up against the wall. And it's funny because each cage is labeled like a different, like, ugly stereotype.
And for some
like,
reason,
too tall.
Santa Claus is in there.
Well, there's,
a clown,
he's
silly.
Too fat. The
too
silly one actually made me laugh, because there's, like, a clown in there, like, dancing, like, really
weird.
But
how
could
he just mime for the whole, are we used to expect every hour of the day he's sitting there doing clownery,
Well, he's
you
like,
know?
Yeah, he's, like, rave dancing or something. It was, like, really weird.
Yeah,
I laughed
funny
at that.
Everyone was doing actions to go.
He's got... They gotta be what they are. They gotta be what they are. They can't deny it. If you want to do a clown, you gotta clown
around. It was a mix of like really odd people, like the two hairy guy looked like Genghis Khan with like spots of hair, and then there was like the one that was too old, and it's just like this old guy in a sweater vest sitting in the chair. And then there's a guy that looks like Tobias from Arrested Development is like the too weird guy. What are these poor people doing? That old guy's probably just sitting at home watching TV, and these guys put a net in front of him. Too old.
And do they label them when they pick them up for the Stay Home for the Ugly, or do they wait and then, you know, divide
them?
No,
they have
and
a
be
quick
like,
turnaround, because right when they put the garbage on,
like,
we
lost
in.
Our too silly. Do we need another silly?
Yeah,
they need
it's more like silly. It's more like a collection of the ugly than like a Stay Home.
Yeah.
But yeah, they put the Garbage Pail Kids in a cage labeled too gross.
All together.
All together.
One big cage.
And they can do anything by working with each other. So that was a big mistake.
That was a big mistake. But there's no other Garbage Pail Kids there.
Yeah, so they're whining the whole time about, whoa, where's the other, you know, we can't find our friends, they're not here. And at the same time, the guards are talking about how at a certain time, after a certain amount of time or something, they're squished. They're put in the garbage truck.
And there was a clap.
Yeah, they put it, yeah. So, and then it cuts back to the
and now there's this crazy fashion show going on with these, like, wild 80s, like... Must be seen. Like, can't describe it here. Gotta see it. Like,
they got, like, legitimate models to wear these clothes,
they
too.
They did, and yeah.
And Tangerine.
She's so mean.
Tangerine goes on a power trip.
Yeah. I hope that's not your real hair, honey.
Yeah. Oh, she becomes super catty. Yeah.
Yeah.
She basically turns this into like the back room Us Weekly, like ripping apart people's style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the fashion show.
And I'm trying to think, how did this, like, I just saw this movie a couple of days ago and I'm already forgetting this. So how did it get figured out? Like, how did Dodger find out that the Garbage Pail Kids?
Because Juice and his gang come in.
Okay.
And they're, as Dodger's talking to Tangerine, they show up and they start giving him crap and they mention something about his little friends. They're, you know, your little friends don't be a problem anymore or something like that.
Okay.
And that's when he turns to Tangerine. He's like, what'd you do? And he's like yelling at her and she tells
Tangerine,
him.
Yeah, Tangerine like has like an emotionless stare.
She's just staring in the mirror shot? Like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, all I did was give Juice. She blames Dodger. She goes, you're the one that locked him up. All I did was give Juice the key.
Right.
Yeah.
So then
that's probably the best quote in the entire movie.
Yeah. So he runs back to, I think, Captain Manzini. Convinces him that they have to go to the state home and get the kids out.
Oh, Captain Manzini's knocked out when they steal the Garbage Pail Kids, so I think
I forgot to mention that. He's trying to figure out the magical
tune. Formula.
There's a melody. Song.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to. Apparently, the trick is this song. He has to come up with a song.
Yeah.
With some magical spell to get the kids back into the
garbage
pail.
Now, if he put them in the garbage pail in the first place, wouldn't he already know the song?
He had the materials back.
That was like hundreds. That was hundreds of years ago.
That was this was like 14,
now. Wait a minute. Now hundreds of years ago, the Garbage Pail Kids were put in a can, yet they only just arrived from space.
Oh, don't worry, Jack. No, this makes total sense. Yeah, this all totally adds up. Greaser Greg, clearly is imitating 1950s culture, has probably been in the trash can for hundreds of years.
He was ahead of his time.
It makes total sense.
One of them's a baby and hasn't aged.
So when the kids showed up to steal the kids, they knocked out Captain Manzini.
Yeah.
So when Dodger comes back, Captain Manzini's still knocked out, and he wakes him up.
And then they get the bikers' help.
Well, they go to the toughest bar in the world.
They go to the toughest bar in the world and go, we need your help. The little guys are in trouble. And immediately, like,
let's go.
And here's the best part of this scene. Like, half the bikers who are, like, tough guys in the bar, are, like, run out, like, let's get them. Another half of the extras just continue to sit there and stare at the wall. Like, including some of the extras right in front of the camera.
They're like,
whatever.
Yep.
I wasn't into that alligator guy.
I can barely move because my toes bit off.
Yeah.
Can I finish my drink first? Jeez. Yeah.
So they rush off to the state home for the ugly while the fashion show's still going on.
Okay, and what is the strategy by Captain Manzini to get in again?
He go right through the front door.
Yeah.
And he gets kicked out again.
Why? This is just a fool-me-once type situation.
Didn't work again.
This becomes the worst Ocean's 11 movie ever.
Yeah.
So then terrible strategy.
After that, shockingly, didn't work again. They hooked up.
He's like, darn it, I forgot to think of another strategy.
They tie chains around the bars on the windows, and the bikers pull the bars off with their bikes, and they crawl in.
And everybody...
And they storm, basically. They storm the place. They start letting everybody
Captain
out.
Captain Manzini had, like, a move he used on one of the guards. Didn't he, like, throw like something in his face?
Yeah, like a magic trick or something.
Oh, yeah, he finally had a magic trick after all this time.
I think he, like, blinded him with something.
Where was that, like, an hour ago when he was claiming to be a magician? And he finally brings it back.
Yeah, he does some goofy, magic trick. And, I don't know, he blinds the guard or something.
Unfortunately, now there's only one guard there, not two.
So they get the kids out, and they release all the other ugly people.
Which is a very inspirational moment, I think. I think this is a high point of the movie, where they play the song again, and then all the people are helping each other get out.
Like the old guy the old guy they bring down, the guy who was too old, looks so befuddled in his like sweater vest, and like helping
him
down.
He's like, they fed me here. So, but then I'm nervous, like, where they go after they escape, like, as you were.
They'll just get recaptured.
And they're breaking the Garbage Pail Kids out, and we're going to... This is the craziest movie we have... I'm not going to say it's the worst movie we've done. This is maybe the craziest, weirdest movie we've done. There is so much going on in this movie, we are actually going to take a break. We're going to be back. We're going to take a break. This is going to have a part two. We're going to be back next week with... the grand finale of our Garbage Pail Kids episodes, our first ever two-parter. We are going to be back next week, more on the epic fashion show that wraps up Garbage Pail Kids, because that's what kids love in the finale of a movie, is a fashion show. A really, really great game of So Wrong It's Right. We are going to have our ongoing feature of Loved It! Reviews from IMDb of people who thought more of this movie than we did. All of that coming up next week on part two of this Garbage Pail Kids episode. We will see you then back here on Stop the Movie And you can also listen to us on StopTheMoviePodcast.com. All right, we'll see you next week.